We're so glad that you've let us come into your space, into your home, and that you are sharing with us and that we can share the Word of God with you. Today, I'm very privileged to have my son-in-law, John Bailey, bring the Word. And so at this time, I'm going to turn it over to him. John?
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Pastor. Well, I tell you what, Pastor Halsey was saying, and Tony was bringing up, we're talking about this crisis that we have in the Ukraine, and there's so many different avenues of that. We've had so much this year. We've had so many things to go through. I mean, we had COVID, right? We had financial, you know, the economy. Now we have Ukraine, and what do we do? What should we do? We cry out to be saved. God, save us.
Yes. Yes.
And actually, that's the topic of my message today is the blood of salvation and how that saves us.
Yes. Yes.
Excuse me. All right. So, blood of salvation, we're going to be snatched out of the world and into the kingdom of God. In Hosea 11:1, the prophet says, "When Israel was a child, I loved him. And out of Egypt, I called my son." In a spiritual sense, all believers have a past that's rooted in Egypt. Egypt represents the world,
yes.
Its entanglements, and its power to dominate us. Back when none of Moses' plagues against Egypt freed the Israelites, Moses commanded the Israelites to place the blood of the Passover lamb over the doorposts.
Uh-huh.
And then suddenly, in one night, all of Israel was called out of Egypt and set free. Amen. It's the blood of Jesus that saves and delivers us from the bondage of sin. Christ's blood has freed every believer out of Egypt. And that means he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. As it tells us in John 8:36. You know, and then we say, well, why the blood? You may have heard people in the course of your life or just talking with people that are non-believers and they don't understand. Why is it that we make a big deal about the blood? What is it in the blood? They say, I don't understand why you Christians talk about blood the way you do. What does the scripture say about the blood? The Old Testament refers to the blood 314 times. The New Testament mentions it about 100 times. That's 400 plus blood references. And that's more than enough to make known to us the power of our Lord Jesus and the power in his blood. Now, Satan knows this. He knows about the blood. He knows what the blood does and what it can do. He knows that salvation can only come through the Christ's blood. And that's why he gets us to substitute it for good works. You know, I'm a nice guy. I help people. I give money to the needy. I keep the rules. But the prophet Isaiah says, our works of righteousness are as filthy rags. In Isaiah 64:6, that means our filthy rags of good works cannot resurrect and transform our dead, lifeless spirit. They can't cleanse our conscience from guilt. Satan knows these things, and that's why he comes in with his other plan, and he deceives many. But what do we as believers know? Well, let me proclaim. It's the blood of Jesus, not good works, that Colossians 2:14 says, blots out our sins and makes them impossible for God to find. How wonderful is that? I mean, I don't think there's a person alive that doesn't have something in their past that they just keep the skeleton in the closet, right? They don't want it. They don't even want to think about it themselves, but they did it, or whatever it was. But here he blots out our sins and makes them impossible for God to find. It's Christ's blood that Psalms 103:12 says removes our sin as far as the east is from the west. And I used to think about that. I mean, how far? See, which way are we pointing now? Where's east? Is that way? I'm mixed up.
Yeah.
Anyway, east to the west. That's how far away your sins are. They don't touch. They're gone. It's his blood that in Hebrews 9:22 says frees our guilty conscience. How many times do we lay it in bed at night? Maybe I'm talking about myself. But sometimes you get things going through your mind. And something that sometimes I'll be thinking, just pop in my head, you know, 3 years ago when I was doing such and such, I think it might have been a little little short with that person that I was talking to. Or maybe I was angry. And sometimes it's old things, but I had this guilty conscience. But as we said, His blood frees our guilty conscience. And it's His blood in Romans 5:10 that removes God's wrath towards man. I don't want to, the wrath is coming. And we don't want it to be on us. So through the blood of Jesus, He removes that wrath from us. It's the blood of Revelation that Revelation 5:9 says justifies us before God. You know what? I know one thing is I am not worthy. I'm not worthy at all. If I did what I was worthy of doing, I would have to lay down on the floor, on my face, before God, and I wouldn't be able to get up. He is of that magnitude. But through Him and His gift to us of His Son to give us a sacrifice and die for our sins, now through Jesus I'm worthy to come before our God and our King. It's the blood of Colossians, when the blood that Colossians 1:20 says brings perfect peace. All right, did I get them all? Only 400 more to go. You ready? No, I think that's more than enough. I think we know, we get the idea that it's the power of Jesus' blood that saves us and does all for us. Our salvation is not in our works, but in Christ's blood. This is a sacred, non-negotiable doctrine of our Christian faith. We cannot compromise in order to stand firm in our salvation. Christ alone is our freedom from sin and a firm foundation of salvation. The Apostle Peter said in Acts 4:12, there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So what's an example of good works? A lot of us, again, like I said before, people delude themselves sometimes into thinking, I'm a good person. I don't need to go to church, or, I believe in God, but I don't understand all that stuff. But I'll be a good person. It's good works. Well, good works would be enough. Well, one could say that one of the world's most respected women in the idea of good works in the 20th century would be Mother Teresa. I'm sure you've always heard her name. What is she known for? She ministers to lepers, the impoverished, and the needy. As far as religion is concerned, she demonstrated devotion, sacrifice, good works. I mean, they even want to make I don't know how they do it in the Catholic Church, but they want to say she's a saint. All because of her good works. But I'll tell you one thing. These are all good things that we strive to be known for, but if Mother Teresa had not personally accepted the Lord Jesus Christ into her heart, despite the good works, despite all of her sacrifices, caring for the needy, the caring of the lepers and the feeble, she didn't have the Lord Jesus Christ in her heart. If she didn't, then she would not go to heaven, because that is what you must have. It is not about the works. Well, a lot of times you'll hear, I don't know if you watch much of the news or much of these different things that go on, but you kind of hear on these college campuses when they interview people and other places that, they want this inclusiveness, right? They want everything, we're all, and then they'll say, well, there's actually many paths to heaven, is what they say. Why are you pushing your path off on me? There's many paths to heaven. Well, They say that, well, how narrow-minded you are. And they say, my God would never treat people that way. But I say, well, they're right. Their God, with a little g, isn't the God of the Bible, right? He's a God, little g, of their imagination, right? And they are deceived by their false God. They have dreamed up their God because the word isn't exactly in line with the way they live or what they do. They want to feel good about themselves and feel good about what they believe. So they kind of have this other way of thinking. But this will always fail. This will not lead to redemption. Some may say, well, I'm stuck in my ways. I've lived a life that I know is not exemplary. I'm stuck in my ways. I've done too much bad in my life. And then they get into a loop of themselves and they'll say, well, I feel guilty. I can't measure up. They get into that loop. I can't stop sinning. We must understand that it's not about trying to quit sinning and promising to do better. It's about the acceptance of the overcoming blood of what the overcoming blood of Jesus does for us. As the song says, and we just heard it, there's power in the blood. Wonder-working power in the blood. And that's why Revelations 12:11 says, they triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, is our only means of salvation and power over sin. So then, we come to Christ. Will we leave our old life behind? Well, yes. Romans 6:20 and 21 says, when you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things that you're now ashamed of? Those things result only in death. As long as a person does what they feel like doing, ignoring God, you don't have to bother with right thinking or doing anything right for that matter. But do you call that a free life? I don't. I mean, it's very superficial. You feel free. I get to do what I want to do. But it's nothing that you would be proud of. And nothing, you know, where does it get you? It gets you to a dead end. But you can have that new life. You may be thinking, can I ever change the way I think? Can I change my insecurities, my failures? Or even, you might be thinking, can my lost loved ones ever be delivered out of the world? Because you know that they are far removed and deep in sin. Well, I would like to give you a couple examples that illustrate that God is very similar to what was said earlier today. God makes a way when there is no way. So I want to tell you about this young man. It was my brother has a friend, and it was his son is who I'm talking about. This young man was raised Catholic, and then when his parents got divorced and his mother remarried, his stepfather was Mormon, so then he went to the Mormon church. And then later on, as he got older, he tried to go back to the Catholic church. Kind of confusing, I would say. You know, how you can't really line those up. I mean, he was very confused about it, so he kind of just quit thinking about it altogether. Well, one day when he was about 17 years old, he was out snowboarding. What happens when you snowboard? Sometimes. You fall. And you get hurt. He actually broke his collarbone. And so, he went to the doctor, and the doctor fixed him up. And they prescribed him a prescription for the pain. It was OxyContin. And back in those days, I think they probably were a little more liberal with it. You know. And so what happened, he ended up getting addicted. He was addicted to OxyContin. He was swallowed up by the world because it started out slow and it got worse and it got worse. And his dad did everything he could for him. But the young man was just swallowed up by the world. He'd be gone for days at a time. It even got to the point where he was selling a few little drugs here and there so he could sell marijuana so he could buy OxyContin. Back in those days, you couldn't get marijuana. He even went to rehab many times, probably total of a couple of years. I mean, in and out, in and out. And because of his dabbling in selling drugs, he went to jail. I mean, his life, he just felt like he was trapped. Well, as I said, it was the son of my brother's friend. And so sometimes my brother would work with this young man, and they would, because his dad had did real estate. And so they would work for him, and they would go in and they'd clean out houses that were going to be sold, you know, take things out, things like this, just to give his son a little job to do. So my brother spent some time with him, and one time they were driving along and in the car, and out of the nowhere, this young man says, you know, I'm really so confused about God and about all these things that, you know, how can I do right and what can I do? And my brother was kind of taken a little aback because he just said that. And he told him, you know what? Because and the young man went on explaining what he heard from this side and what he heard from that side and how he couldn't understand it. So my brother said, you know what? It's not nearly as complicated as you think. It's about bringing yourself before the Lord and accepting Him as your Savior, accepting Him into your heart. Right? And that's how you begin that life anew. Now, after this conversation, did he immediately snap out of it? No, he was still in that life. But we believe that he made a connection, that he gave his life to the Lord that night, or that day, afternoon. But this story is not necessarily a happy story. Within about a year, this young man was stabbed to death in a parking lot of a McDonald's late at night. His father had to find out about it through a card stuck in his door from Phoenix Homicide that said, "Please call." He didn't know because his son was gone for several days, but he didn't think anything of it because that's how he was. He would go and he would be gone. He'd be in the world. And so they went down and they found out about it. But I believe that that's the sad part of the story. The world destroyed him. But the good part is that God, one more time, reached out to him. One more time. And he didn't know that was his chance, and he took that chance. And so now we know that he gave his life to the Lord, and he's going to be in heaven with us when we get there. So that's the happy part of it. All right, that's kind of a sad story, a little downer. Let me give you another example. This one is an example of renewal and transformation. All right, now this one is a person that I know well, and it's actually my grandfather, my Grandpa Johnson. Of course, he's passed now. I grew up hearing this story, and I grew up witnessing part of this story, and it is an amazing story. And to me, it was more amazing when I found out, you know, how you have, before and after pictures. You've seen that sometimes, you know, for fun. Before this is this, and after this is this. Well, I kind of knew the after, but over the years, I heard the before. You know, and that was amazing to me. And I thought I would use it as an example. So my Grandpa Johnson, he was not saved. He was not interested in being saved. He was a nice enough guy, but he was very, you know, let's put it this way. He grew up in a small town in a little farming town in Illinois, in southern Illinois. And that wasn't enough for him when he was a young man. When he was very young, he joined the Navy. So that would have been probably in the 20s. Probably right after World War I. And then he joined the Navy to see the world. And when he was in the Navy, it just fanned the flames. He got even more and more. He was in the world. I mean, he's drinking, carousing, right, in the Navy. He comes home and he's married now. And he continues drinking and carousing and going out for days at a time. Now, he was a very stern character. He would never hurt anybody. But he was, and he's very well respected. He was actually the fire chief of the volunteer fire department, and he'd do other things, but people knew you don't cross, his name's Howard, you don't cross Howard Johnson. You know, you don't want to mess with it. Well, on the other hand of that, on the other side, you have my sweet little grandmother that I can still remember her standing there, and she's what I would call a prayer warrior, just like we strive to be prayer warriors. And you would think, what an odd couple that they got together. You know, he's on this side, and she's over here on this side. What brought them together? And how can you be successful? How can you stay together? But you know what happened? She began to pray for him. She prayed for her husband. She prayed in the morning. She prayed at night. Like I said, she was a prayer warrior. You'd find her in her prayer. You wouldn't find her. She'd be in her prayer closet praying. Praying for his salvation. At one point, she even had prayer cloths anointed and snuck them under his pillow, right? And he'd wake up the next day, and her name was Joy, and he would say, "Joy, I don't know, I just couldn't sleep well last night. I'm just feeling bad, tossing and turning and having dreams." Of course, we know what was going on. That was the Lord dealing with his heart. She persevered on this for 20 years. And you would think after maybe 5 years or 10 years, you're just going to say, "Well, I guess it's not going to happen." 15 years, 20 years or more, roughly 20 years. She didn't waver in her faith. And then one day, after refusing to go to church for 20 years or his entire life, there was a revival that came to town. And I know I can just imagine that the Lord had sent out his Holy Spirit to draw him in. And for whatever reason, he said, "Okay, I'll go to this revival." he wasn't thinking much of it. He just wanted to get it over with, probably to get her from getting off his back. We don't know. But he went to the revival, and at that revival, you can imagine what happened. He accepted the Lord into his heart. Amen. He became saved. And what's amazing about that? He was so blessed that he had almost an instant renewal. We work for renewal. We strive for renewal. God renews our heart and our soul instantly. But we strive to do better. We strive to be worthy of that, even though we're not. He gave up his worldly ways. He loved the Lord, and he proudly witnessed to anyone. I heard this myself. Witness on the street. Witness at the restaurant. Witness somewhere else. And you know what? He had a loud voice. He reminds me of Brother Tony. He didn't need a microphone like this. What he did was he would just shout it out. And I just thought to myself, what a transformation. And then and I found this out from my mother, because this happened before I was born. Shortly after he became saved, he was so excited that he wanted to go and spread the word. He would hold, after church, he would go on his own to retirement centers around the area and hold services. I'm like, well, I didn't even know that. And then years later, the thing that I know that he did was he went out and bought a bus of his on his own, like a little old bus, and he drove around the countryside every Sunday picking up little kids to bring them to church and into Sunday school. And then after that, he would take them back, door-to-door service. He'd pick them up, take them back. He didn't get paid for that. He did it on his own because he loved the Lord and he wanted the kids to be in church. And then it was kind of fun for us, too, because when we were there, visiting, you know, I lived there for a while, and every Sunday he's going to go. We didn't get up in the morning necessarily, but in the afternoon after church was over, we would ride with Grandpa and we'd go around him. So I can tell you, he went all over the countryside and picked him up. I just thought to myself, what a transformation. He humbled himself before the Lord. He often said that. He wanted to be humbled before the Lord. And I would hear him at night. Sometimes I would hear him praying in his room and just praying and praising the Lord. And I even remember one occasion when I was up in the night to do something. I walked by the door. It was cracked open a little bit. And I saw him there on his knees, kind of silhouetted by the moonlight. And to me, that was such an inspiration. Here he is. You know, it is like many of us strive to do. Gave his life to the Lord and worked to be in the service of the Lord. His salvation, where God reached out and pulled him in, his salvation launched generations of believers that followed the Lord. Now, how complete was that renewal? That was joyous. And that's something good. Renewal is what we look for, right? In Romans 12:2, Paul now focuses on an essential means of transformation. The renewal of your mind. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. So, if you long to break loose from conformity to the world, if you long to be transformed, new from the inside out, kind of like my example, if you want to be free from mere duty-driven Christianity, maybe I'm going through the motions. I love Jesus, but I want to serve Jesus. And what if you want to do what you love to do because what you love to do is what you ought to do? That's transformation. You no longer desire the things. It slowly fades. No longer desire the things before Christ, but now that I'm a new child, new creature in Christ, I desire to do those things that are pleasing to Him. It's what I want. If you long to offer up your body as a living sacrifice so that your whole life becomes a spiritual act of worship and displays the worth of Christ above the worth of the world, then give yourself with all your heart pursuing this, allowing the saving blood of Jesus to transform you. As we said, the renewal of your mind, because the Bible says this is the key to transformation. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. So then where does that leave us? That leaves us dead to sin and alive in Christ. Romans 6, 1-3 says, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means, he says. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? He died for all of our sins. We can't live in sin anymore. We don't want to live in sin anymore. Well, once I'm born again and God comes into my heart, do I still have temptations? Well, we do. We do have temptations, but he always provides the way out. Right? He always provides that extra time. Just like when I was talking about this young boy, he provided that one more chance, one more person that told him something that struck in his heart, and then he became saved. Romans 7:21-25. So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in me. It's waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin. It's at work within me. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in my sinful nature, slave to the law of sin. Well, then what do we do to be in obedience to Romans 12:2? Again, be transformed by the renewal of our spirit. We join the Holy Spirit in his precious and all-important work. We give ourselves fully as servants to the Lord, walk in humility, and work to build his kingdom. Now, if this is you, or at home on the Facebook, if you're yearning for more than what's in this world, what it has to offer you, if you would like to be renewed by the saving grace of Jesus, if you want to be born again into the kingdom of God, and be born again in the kingdom of God by his precious blood of the Lamb, well, today is the day. Today is the day. Now, maybe if you have loved ones that they're lost in the world, you have not responded to the Holy Spirit's drawing to come to Christ, maybe you've been praying for their salvation, but you're growing weary in the battle. It's been years, years and years. Well, today is the day. Today is the day to proclaim that God will deliver them from this world, snatch them from the world, and deliver them into a new life in Christ. Don't be discouraged. Persevere. Be steadfast in bringing this request to the Lord. He is faithful and true, and he desires that all be saved. Isaiah 45:22 says, "Turn to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is no other." So what I would like to do is just ask us to bow in prayer. And if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, if you're not taking that final step, today is the day. What better? There's no better day. There's so much turmoil going on in the world. We know what's coming. How can we be alone? We must be saved under the Spirit of the Lord. So if that's you and you'd like to give your heart to the Lord, please pray something along these lines. Lord Jesus, I accept you as my Savior. I know that you died for my sins, and you've washed me anew and welcomed me into the kingdom of God. And I pray that you be with me, guide me, teach me, so that I may be a follower of yours and directed into the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Now, if you'd like to do a prayer for salvation of your loved ones, if you have somebody that maybe you're not quite sure that they've given their heart to the Lord, it is so important. You know that. And if you've been praying for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, I think today is the day we're going to proclaim that they are going to be saved. And you're going to reaffirm that. You're going to stand on that prayer. And so we can pray like this. Lord, thank you for your mercies and your grace. Thank you for your holiness, Lord. Thank you for giving us an audience to come before you. Lord, we pray for those that have loved ones that may be lost. We've been praying perhaps for a long time, but we know that you're always faithful and always true, and we will stand on your word and stand on your promise and proclaim that they will be saved and brought into the kingdom of heaven, that one day we may all stand before you together. In Jesus' name. All right, so what I'd like to do now, if you have a loved one, or if for yourself, if you'd like to, if you'd like to come down, what I want to offer is intercessory prayer for you. If you would like to, what that is something where you'll come down and you're standing in for that person, symbolically. You stand in for that person, and then we'll have the elders of the church come down and pray with you and believe with you that that God will be faithful and true, which He will be, and He will deliver your loved one. Does that, would anybody like to do that? Does anybody have a loved one that they're worried about? If so, come on down. Come on down here and let us know, and then Pastor Halsey will pray with you. And I'll close this for now, and then we'll go ahead oh, wait, did you want to close?
No, I'm just standing.
All right, we're going to do intercessory. So again, thank you for joining us. Yeah, we need Jesus. Thank you for joining us today at the Living Waters Church of God in Casa Grande. And bless you and have a splendid day. So, this was on my heart. I feel like I was talking to somebody, whether it was somebody here, whether it's somebody on Facebook, because it was right along with what Brother Tony was saying, what Pastor Halsey was saying. You know, this is, we need God, and we need, today is the day. There's no reason to wait any longer. So if you have anyone you would have to, want us to pray for you with, just let us know. All right, we'll start. Yep.
Sometimes it takes a little trickle to have a flood. And we pray that you just flood her family. They won't know why. They won't understand it. Why are they feeling this way? And they're going to come to you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. We've seen it happen, and we will see it happen again. We'll stand on that, and we're going to continue praying for that. And Maria's going to continue standing on this promise until the day that we all stand before you. Forgiven of our sins, Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you,
Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Well, we're already up there. I'd say if anybody else wants to come down.
I'll want to stand in for some reason.
Can you guys pray for my husband?
Sure.
Get ready to have surgery.
Okay.
On Wednesday.
Okay. We can do that. If you want to sit in prayer, you want to come down and
then.
Okay. Wow. We'll work on that next.